This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to talk to you from the subject of keys to victorious living. Keys to victorious living. And I'm going to go ahead and give you one of the first keys. I almost called it a spoiler alert, but it's not really a spoiler. But y'all, how many know what a spoiler is? When somebody, you're going to watch a movie and they go ahead and tell you what the movie's about, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't like that. Like, I don't want to know anything about the movie. I just want to get there and watch the movie, right? But sometimes people see it and they're so excited, and you'll even tell them, don't tell me, right? And like, okay, I won't tell you, but then they'll tell you anyways, right? And so let me give you an alert. I'm not going to call it a spoiler alert. I'm going to give you several keys in this lesson, but keys to victorious living. The first key is really knowing Jesus. The first key is really knowing Jesus, which is the foundation or the springboard for everything that we're going to talk about today. Jesus came that we might have life. That we might have what, class?
Life.
All right, that we might have life and live it victoriously. And to the degree that we are willing to accept Jesus into our hearts and live faithfully for him, we will see our lives get better and better, all right? And that is the key. John 10 and 10, they'll put it up on the screen. And if you have an actual paper Bible, you'll see that it's written in red. When it's written in red, what does that mean? Jesus is talking, right? The writer says, or Jesus says, that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. So watch this. And I got a lot to share with you. So, you know, just go ahead and look at your neighbor. Just find your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to pay attention. All right, look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're second choice. Tell them, neighbor, I gotta pay attention. All right, all right. So Jesus came, died, and shed his blood so that you could live a victorious life. Like, living a victorious life is God's will for you. It's something that God has already put in place, done everything he needs to do. So now it is up to you and to me to take this word, to apply it in our lives, to walk it out, to live by faith, to put in the work, because faith without works is dead, being alone, right? So we can see this victorious life. Victory over a lot of things. I'll just give you a few examples, but it's a whole bunch of them. Think about it. Victory over sickness and disease. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our what? Transgressions. He was bruised for our. And the chastisement of his peace was where? It was upon him. So the pressure wasn't on me and you. The pressure was on Jesus to make sure that he gave us everything that we need. And by his stripes, the Bible says we are healed. So we're not going to be healed. We are already healed, all right? We're healed in our mind. We're healed in our physical bodies. We're healed in our emotions. We're healed in every area of our life. So victory over sickness and disease. Here's another one, victory over lack. Can I get a? It's not God's will for you to live in lack. It's God's will for you to have more than enough. I've talked to you throughout this series, the last series. We understand we've got to give. We understand we have to make good decisions with the 90% left over. We've got to steward well. If you do these things, you should not be in lack. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that word rich means what? Oh, you're a good class. It means abundantly supplied, all right? Yet for your sakes he became poor. Watch this, that through his poverty you might be rich or abundantly supplied. So that's God's will. Here's another one, victory over depression, victory over frustration, and victory over anxiety. It is not God's will for you to walk around frustrated. It is not God's will for you to walk around depressed. It is not God's will for you to have fear and anxiety over your life. John 16 and 33, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says a lot of stuff, and then at the end he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And that is why you have to have a relationship with God. Watch this. Not just making him Savior. Watch this. Inviting him into my life. But making him Lord. Having a relationship with him where you walk with him and that you, where you talk with him. You listen to him. You allow him to lead you and guide you. And if you do that, you're going to have perfect peace and confidence. Watch this. It doesn't mean you won't have a storm. But what it means is even in the storm, you can have perfect peace and confidence. Does that make sense? He says, in the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. How many know that's true? Jesus says, but be of good cheer, take courage, and be confident, be certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you, and he says, I've already conquered it for you. And that's why you have to have a relationship with Jesus, so you know everything that he's already done for you, so you can start walking in it. You got it? Because if you don't know it, then you'll walk around saying stuff like, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. Why is this always happening to me? You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to have victory. You have to walk in victory. Here's another one, victory over sin. I got three amens. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we, you know, Jesus really went through a lot for me and you. And that's real. You know, the Bible is real, right? Like the piercing that he took, you know, in his hand and his size, that was real. You got it? Like, you know, somebody, you remember when, especially when you were little and you would go to the doctor and they would just prick your finger? Some of you, Well, Jesus took a whole lot more than that for me and for you. Watch this. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus literally paid the sin debt for you and I, and, somebody say, and took away the power of sin so it could no longer dominate us so we could be free. So Jesus, watch this, that's why he tells the writer, oh, death, where's your sting? And oh, grave, where's your victory? It's been swallowed up because Jesus conquered all that for you and I. You got it? And so what happens is you don't have to walk in sin. You don't have to walk in addictions. You don't have to walk in strongholds because Jesus has already literally paid the price and took care of it for you, all right? All right? I was going to tell you, look at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. Everybody just repeat after me. Say, stay free.
Stay free.
All right? And so the writer tells us that when you get delivered from something, just because you get delivered from a thing doesn't mean that the enemy won't try to come back around and bring it to you. Isn't that right? And so what happens is the writer says, don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. And so there's things in your life that all of us, including me, we don't like to talk about this. There's things God has freed me from. There's things God has freed you from. Everybody in the room, God has freed us from something, and we are literally free. But it doesn't mean that the enemy won't come back and try to tempt you again. Does that make sense? You got it? And so once he frees you from something, you have to stay free. Because y'all already know my whole thing. Sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers you don't want to pray, right? And so Jesus can break every demonic force that comes against you so you can live a victorious life. The Bible declares that his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. So when you get this revelation of Jesus, when you really get to know Jesus, you got to catch this. Everybody say, catch this. Watch this. When you get the revelation of who Jesus is, the powers of darkness are deactivated, number one. Hell is put on notice, number two. And nothing by any means can hurt you, number three. Did you hear what I said? So when you get a revelation of who Jesus is, the powers of darkness are deactivated. They can't mess with you no more, right? Hell is now put on notice. He belongs to Jesus, right? And nothing by any means can hurt you. So weapons may form, but they won't prosper. You might bend, but you won't break, all right? Go with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 2nd verse. I want to show you this story in the Bible. And I just, this is before I get into my 3 points. This is all just introduction, but we're going to get there, praise the Lord. And that's why I asked for 2 extra minutes. And so, but before I get into my 3 points, I want you to show you this story about John the Baptist, who we know was the forerunner of Jesus, isn't that right? Was it not John that baptized Jesus? And he began to say, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoelaces. Isn't that right? And he says, I baptize you with water. He baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire, right? And so John is now in prison, all right? And so John is in prison, and I think John is going through a tough time, right? We don't knock John because all of us in the room have gone through tough times. But sometimes when you go through a tough time, how many know your perspective can be off? See, I'm teaching a little better than you shouting amen. Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 2nd verse. Now, when John had heard in prison, where was he at? He was on the inside, right? the works of Christ, Jesus was on the outside, right? He sent two of his disciples. So disciple just means follower. So John sent a couple of followers, and he says, I want you to go to Jesus, right? And I want you to ask him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, you know, things that make you say, John was the one that baptized Jesus. He was the one that basically already said he be the one, right? Watch this. And so they went and did exactly what John told them to do. Jesus answered and said to him, did you know, notice how loving Jesus is, how gracious Jesus is, how he didn't say, I rebuke you in my name, because he couldn't say nobody else's name because he is the name, right? And so he said, you know, he didn't say, get behind me, Satan, you know, but he said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He said, just tell John what's going on the outside. He said, tell him that the blind receive their sight, and that the lame walk, and that the lepers are cleansed, and that the deaf hear, and that the dead are raised, and that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Like John, listen, I love you, John, and I know you're just going through a tough time, but what you spoke of, you got it, it's happening right now. Watch this, and watch this. And now Jesus has to help John, all right? This is the thing, tough thing for me as a pastor, when people come to me sometime and they tell me what's going on, you know, I always want to help them, but I see how they might need a little push in a certain direction, or maybe just a little bit of correction, and people don't like correction, let's just be honest, right? And so you have to give it to them in a very soft and loving way, and Jesus does that in verse 6. He says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended of me. In other words, John, don't get offended. You got it? And so maybe, you know, you could look at this, and theologians look at this, and some people say, well, maybe for a moment, John forgot who Jesus really was. And when I read that commentary, I said, I doubt it. Everybody said, or. No, let's lay it with some drama, like, or. Or maybe it was because of what John was going through. And when you go through things, sometimes your perspective can be off. Does that make sense? Me and lady been pastoring this church how long? 16 years. Some of y'all been with us 12, 13, 15, 16. You notice we're the same people. Oh, I got three mm-hmms. Same loving people we always been. You got it, you know. Same down-to-earth fun people we always been. You got it. Nicole, you've been with us since the beginning. You got it. Nicole tell you, they the same. They ain't changed. You got it. When we got into this big building, it wasn't like, okay, I'm done with my stuff. I'm walking into the back. I'll see y'all peoples later, right? No. You got it. We're the same people. Watch this. But if you're not careful and you go through something, watch this, the enemy will try to throw your perspective off. And one day maybe pastor's walking fast to do something and I didn't notice you were there and I didn't hug you. I didn't stop and I normally do, right? You know, if you're not careful, the enemy will throw your perspective off. See, I need to leave this church and go somewhere else. You got it. Because they don't love anymore like they used to. They done got so big and, you know, all those kind of things. Watch this. And nothing changed except your perspective. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. That will happen sometimes with a husband and a wife when they're going through a certain situation. The enemy will just try to get in and try to make you think that they change or they're different or something about them or something about them. He'll never tell you what's going on with you. He's only going to tell you what's going on with them. And a lot of times, if you can keep your perspective, you got it. You got it, works everything out. You understand? I was in California and I was talking to Jay, and he's really growing and he's really maturing. We had a 2-hour conversation. We're just sitting in the car talking about life and all those kind of things, and you know, and just responsibilities. And I was, you know, I've always taught him when he was younger. I used to get on Jay really tough, right? I just did, and I always told him, I said, son, I have to. I said, because one day you're going to go out there, you know, and you have to be a man. You have to be a real man. First of all, life is not always fair. Everybody's not always going to be nice to you. Everybody is not always going to treat you right. I just want you to know that. If you notice, when our kids were coming up, we didn't allow them to act like they were better than anybody else's kids in this church. Isn't that right? Yeah. I mean, now Denise and Chandler, they spoiled them all the time. You understand what I'm saying? But we couldn't do anything about that. But they didn't walk around like they were privileged. You got it. I would tell Denise, don't go getting Jay and Hannah out the class early. You understand what I'm saying? Let them stay out and be dismissed when everybody, although Denise would do it sometime, right? Right? Why? Because I was teaching him, you know, I need you to understand how life is going to be on the outside. And then, and then I would tell him, this is when he was young, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Son, one day you're going to have a family. You're going to have responsibilities. You're going to have to do this. And it's so funny because now all that's starting to come back around. And he remembers when I would tell him those things and those kind of things. And so I said, son, it has to be like that. I said, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you, your mom, and Hannah. You got it. I would do anything for you. You got it. Ain't none of us going to die. But if we were in a situation, I'm going to die first. You're like that is how it's going to be. And I told him, son, when you get married, that's huge. Like you know, to take all the time you need. Right? Like, don't be in a rush. You got it. We get in this big rush, right? Right? And I said, just take all the time you need and make sure you're who you need to be. You got it? Because there's a lot of responsibilities that come with that. I told him the Bible says that a husband is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved for the church. I said, do you know what that means? He said, yeah, that means that you would die for mom. I said, you know, a Christian cuss word, you daggone right. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and the thing about it is, because Jay knows me probably more than anybody besides his mama, because he lived in the house with me for 18 years, and like he already knew, like, Dad, I already know you'd do that. I said, yeah, but son, that's rare. Most men won't do that for their women, for their wives. You got it? You don't need to have women. Praise the Lord. I just want to fix that. Got it? Because you know, somebody will take something and twist that thing around. You got it? I am the husband of one wife. I don't have no women's. All right. And so when we get our perspective off, you know, when we go through tough times, if we're not careful, we lose our perspective. And so I'm about to show you three quick points. I got 13 minutes. I got plenty of time. But I wanted to stop in between knowing Jesus and doing these three things, because what happens is you can know Jesus, go through a tough time, and your perspective get off. And the great thing about God is he'll bring you back to where you need to be. But my whole thing is I'm going to teach you so you don't waste time. Does that make sense? All right. So, everything worked out with John. Praise the Lord. Because when you really experience Jesus, no one has to confirm here for you. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about getting to know him for yourself. Not just making him Savior, Jesus coming to my life, but making him Lord, spending time with him. You got it? When I wake up, I talk to him. I get on the prayer call. I read my word. You got it? I'm having some type of devotion with him. And the epidemic that we have in the body of Christ is people get saved and stop there. Got it? Not all. You got it? You know, not all. Some, not all. And we have to understand that. And so some, everybody say not all, they don't ever learn the word. You got it? They don't ever learn to warfare. They don't ever learn to worship. And so, yes, they're saved. You got it? And they're going to go to heaven. But if they're not careful, they leave a defeated life here on the earth because they never went and actually had a relationship with him. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to give you three keys that I just gave to you that will transform your life. And I can't remember how I gave them to you, Ellen, but I'm just going to give them all to them at once, and then we're going to talk about it. And so the first one, I just talked about it, learn the word. Everybody say learn the word. Learn the word. All right, the next, number two, learn to warfare. Everybody say learn to warfare. And number three, learn to worship. Learn to worship. All right, y'all get anything out of this? All right, so here we go. Number one is learn the word. It is the word that produces faith and power in our lives. It is what we must confess on a daily basis to live a victorious life, all right? You have to confess the word of God, all right? The only thing, and I think Pastor Evan hit on it in the first lesson of the series, the only thing that I would have taught that had I taught one more lesson on giving was that when you sow your seed, when you're giving of your tithes, and you attach your faith to it and put something on it. Like I've sent a big Cash App as an offering earlier in the week, and so in my thing I put supernatural, right? Because I'm believing for the supernatural. For you might be believing for something with your family or a thing in your house, and of course if it's something private you don't have to put it out there where everybody can see it, but make sure that you are in faith and you're believing for it, because giving puts you in covenant with God. Isn't that right? And so what happens is when I'm sowing my seed, you got it, I'm releasing my faith. Faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of my mouth. So I have to make sure that I'm saying something, all right? So we must confess on a daily basis the word of God if we're going to live in a victorious life. Psalms 1 and 19, verse 11, very familiar passage of scripture. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not, what class? Sin against thee. And so it is the word that keeps me from the edge, right? It is the word that keeps me from having an ego. Yeah, you know, the word says give, but the ego says, man, I don't need to do that. The word says worship, but ego says, man, I ain't lifting my hands. I'm a man. You got it? The word says serve, but man, they got enough people around here. And but it is the word that keeps me from the edge and keeps me from having an ego. You got it? How do you spell ego? E-G-O. Yeah, it wasn't a trick question. E-G-O. Y'all like, E-G-O, right? Right? If I was to give you an acronym for E-G-O, a member told me this years ago. I'm finally using it. He must have told it to me 13 years ago. He said, ego, E-G-O, is when you edge God out. It's when you edge God out. And so the word is, watch this, if we live by the word, it keeps us from the edge. The word is what we stand on no matter what. The word is what we must accept, you got it, as fact, even if we don't have any sense realm evidence. So the situation hadn't worked out yet, but I believe God. Luke 1:37 in the Amplified says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So the Bible teaches us not only does God give me his word, but when I receive his word, there's power that is in that word that backs it up to perform it in my life. So the power is in the word. So the reason I confess the word is the power's in the word. The reason I stand on the word is the power's in the word. The reason I lean on the word is because the power is in the word. Somebody say the power is in the word. So as I get an understanding of the word, watch this, challenges don't change my theology, right? Because if God's word says I'm healed, then guess what? So, Pastor, what if I'm experiencing pain? I may be experiencing pain, watch it, but that ain't what's coming out of my mouth. I'm not saying, man, my back is killing me. You got it? My head is about to bust wide open. I'm not saying anything. I am in faith declaring that by the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. Watch it. And I'm in faith, watch this, that it's already done. And the only thing I'm waiting for is the physical manifestation to come to pass in my life. Does that make sense? You got it? Why? Because the power is in the word. So regardless of what it looks like, I still believe God. You got it? 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, this is Paul speaking, and he's really quoting David from Psalms 116. He says, Paul says, we got the same spirit of faith as our brother David years and years and years ago. Why? Because the word don't change, right? He says, according to as it is written, David is the one who said it. What did David say? David says, I believed and therefore I've spoken. And then Paul comes and says, we also believe, therefore we speak. Why? Because he says faith works the same way. The word works the same way. If you're coming to church, talking about, man, I wish pastor would put a little spin on the word or change a little bit. You know, he always talking about, no, because the word don't change. You got it? You know, potatoes are potatoes. You might get a baked potato. One day we might call it a mashed potato. We might have turn it into French fries, but it's still a potato. The word is always going to be the word. Does that make sense? Look at your neighbor and say, this young man's teaching up in here this morning. So my faith confession establishes my faith conviction. So you got to catch this. Anything that comes out of your mouth is a result of what's already in your heart. Watch this. So watch this. So you got to watch what you say. But not only do you have to watch what you say, you got to watch what you allow to go in. Does that make sense? Listen, if you're in a faith fight, and I don't mean this negatively, and you know, and you know, you thank God you got a good faith church that you come to, and we're always gonna pump you up in faith. But you get on the phone with someone, I don't care if it's a cousin, an auntie, or a friend from work, they say, well, child, you know, you got to be careful, you know, because I know this girl who went through this, and you know, they gave her 6 months and she died in 6 days. Hang the phone up. You don't need to hear none of that. You need to hear the word of faith. If they ain't saying I'm in agreement with you, if they're not saying, I'm praying for you, if they're not saying, girl, you are the heal, resisting sickness and disease. Take the medicine if he give it to you. Take the surgery if he give it to you. But don't forget about the blood. Don't forget about what Jesus has already done for you. You got it? So my faith confession establishes my faith conviction. Come on, repent and say, I am healed. Yeah, you got to say it with some swag. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. Say, I am blessed. Yeah, and if you're not careful, the enemy will try to mess you up. Well, you ain't got but $200 in your bank account. But see, me being blessed has nothing to do with what's in my bank account. Jesus became poor that through his poverty, I might be rich. So I don't care what is in my bank account because I'm not living by that. Come on, somebody. I'm living off this word that every time I have a need, the need supplier lives on the inside of me and he's going to supply my need. Oh, my God, my God, my God. I feel the word of faith in this place. All right, so somebody say, I am redeemed. Say, my marriage is flourishing. My children are flourishing. So you can't let your inability to figure out how God's gonna do it cancel your faith. You gotta speak life and keep on speaking life. And when you don't see anything change, keep on speaking life. And when things look like they're gonna get worse before they get better, you keep speaking life. Y'all get anything out of this? Yes. Faith demands, I got to calm down. Faith demands that God not only be your source, but he be your only source. Like you got to understand, he is your only source, all right? Because what happens is if you have a second source, watch this, then you'll learn not to trust Jesus. But when Jesus is your only source, watch this, he'll make a way out of no way. Now, through him being the source, he might provide several sources. Does that make sense? But he is your only source. All right? So when I learn the word, it increases my faith and it causes me to know that God is able. Go to number two. Learning the warfare teaches us that the fight is already fixed. So your job is just to fight the good fight of faith. Your job is not to fight your boss, not to fight the neighbors, not to fight the girl at the grocery store, you understand, because she didn't give you correct change. You up there fussing over $5.44, let that $5.44 go. You got it. You know, if you don't care, oh man, if you're not careful, you got it. If you're not careful, the enemy will try to shake you over $5. You'll lose your witness over $5.44. You'll cuss somebody out over $5.44. I'll give you $10 just to be quiet and get in the car. It's about principle. The principle is you making yourself look stupid. That's what the principle is. $5, but it's about the principle. No, it's about you got to get your flesh under control. Oh. Can I just talk to you? Can I just talk to you like I want to talk to you? See, the greatest thing that God ever gave you was not a car, it was not a house, it was not some clothes, but it was his son Jesus who shed his blood and gave you the right to eternal life. But the enemy doesn't want you to rejoice about that. He wants you to rejoice about things he can shake. So if he wants you to rejoice about money and you short $5.44, he's shaking that. If you get a new car and watch this, and you come out of food line after you mad about your $5.44, right? And then you realize somebody opened their door and dented your car, he can shake you. And then you go to your house that God just blessed you with. But the kids got some friends over and they done traced some dirt through the house. See, that's what I'm talking about. And so what happens is the enemy doesn't want you to focus on Jesus and the blood that was shed for you. He wants you to focus on things that he can shake. Oh, my God. But when you rejoice, oh, my God, in the God of your salvation, you have now put yourself in a place that nothing, watch this, that cannot be compromised and cannot be shaken. Because the blood still works. Somebody say the blood still works. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. The blood has not lost its power. So your testimony is that the blood still works. Your testimony is the blood is keeping me. Your testimony, come on, somebody say the blood is keeping me. Say, I'm still here. Come on, say, I might not have it all together, but I'm still here. God is working on me. The blood is keeping me. I've been through hell and high water, but the blood. I almost lost my mind, but the blood. I almost lost my job, but the blood. People walked away from me, but the blood. People lied on me and tried to discredit who I am, but the blood. Because what can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. It is the blood that sustains me, the blood that purifies me, the blood that protects me. It's the blood. So when the devil comes, come on. About $5.44, I ain't hollering at nobody. The blood be against you. Because my God owns cattle on a thousand hills. The silver is his and the gold is his. I ain't fussing over no money. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord. That matter of fact, you can have it. I'm going to sow it as a seed because the blood is keeping me. Oh, my God. All right, y'all sit down. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Oh, Lord, I'm out of time. I got to give you this one. I got to give you this one, man. I may not be where I want to be. Oh, but God ain't where I used to be. Is that the blood is pushing me further and further every day I go. The blood is keeping me, and the blood is protecting. And if I do mess up, the blood covers me. The blood going to make sure I'm all right. Oh, all right, all right, okay, all right. Oh, man, I got to go. I got my last one. Can I get 3 minutes on my last point? All right, all right, all right, all right. Learn. See, if I wasn't on my last point, I was going to let y'all go, but I got to get this last point because I was feeling real good, you understand? I know you ain't supposed to go by feelings, but I ain't going to deny them either, you understand? All right, but y'all know I got issues. So my issue is if I don't give this to you, lady, she'll tell you, I'm going to talk to her for 2 hours this afternoon. I didn't give him the last point. And then finally she's going to say, babe, I really wish you would have gave him that last point. All right, number three, learning to worship. Learning to do what? Matter of fact, let's do this. Let's stand all over the building. Let's go to our worship lights real quick. Yeah, Corey, let's do that. Man, God is in this room. I'm telling you, he's in this room. When they were up worshiping, and I know, because, you know, you got people always, God's always in the room. You know, well, it depends on what room you're in, but anyways. But it's like when from the first song that the worship team sang, I just felt the Holy Spirit said, let them know I am here. And sometimes that's all that matters. When my kids were younger, and I kind of still think Hannah's this way, and Jay, he's becoming a man now. I do know he likes me around, but if there was something that was going on with them, you got maybe a school or something, if I showed up, if there was any anxiety, it went all the way down. If there was any fear or upset or crying, I was able to come in the room and they're, why? Because I'm their father. And they know, man, my father's here. Everything's going to be all right. Well, every time you come to worship, and watch this, it doesn't have to be at 102 Washington Post Road. It can be in your house, it can be in your car, it can be at your office, wherever you work, that your Father is always with you. Learning to worship and totally surrender to him causes his presence to overshadow you to receive what you cannot receive from anyone else but him. There's something about being in the presence of God that nothing else matters. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. You could be going through hell and high water, but if you can just get into his presence. David said in Psalm 16:11 that you will show me the path of life. That in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so when we're worshiping, you got to, and please understand, there's a difference. It's all worship to God, but there's a difference between praying, you know. Oh, y'all got it. All right. Had to fix that quick. That's when, but when we worship, we shouldn't be doing, because that is time to calm down. Watch this, because sometimes God will speak to you during times of worship. And sometimes you notice, I'll say it or lady will say, slip your hands up. You got it? And we're not trying to make anybody do it. You got it? Y'all understand? But the reason we tell you to do this is because the moment I lift my hands, it's in surrender to God. It's saying, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not. I know I'm not perfect. I know I've been through some things. I may have messed up last night, but God, I still belong to you. And so I need you right now. I need you to help me. I need you to heal me. I need you to speak to me like, Lord, I need you to, have you ever been in a tough time in your life where you were so emotional? And everybody has. We like to fake we have them, but everybody has, right? And there's one time I just went to God and said, I just need you to fix me. Because I don't know why I'm, you know, this way. I don't know why I'm so mad right now. Like, Lord, I just need you to fix me. And do you know that that prayer to God is totally fine? And he will do whatever he needs to do to help. And that is the importance of worship. But most people haven't learned worship. So we've learned praise, and that's good. But we got to learn worship. Slip your hands up right where you are. Hey, la boca rosata. Rosso toco la boca rosa nidriosa. Father, I thank you for your presence that is in this room, that fills every person that's in this room with peace, that fills every person in this room with joy, that fills every person in this room with the healing that they need for whatever they're going through. You know them name by name and situation by situation, and even though you know their situation, you still love them the same. And so, Father, I ask you to meet them at the very point of their need. There's things that they won't tell anybody else about, but that's okay because they can talk to you right here and right now. You're here to listen, but you're also here to heal. And so, Father, I thank you that today we're getting a revelation on the importance of when we come into the house or when we're even at our homes or wherever, that we stop, that we get in a quiet place, that we lift our hands, and that we just surrender everything to you. And as we do that, you begin to change us from the inside out. Father, we stand in agreement with every person that's in need of a miracle. You are a miracle worker. We stand in agreement with everyone that needs provision. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. We stand in agreement with everyone that needs healing. You are Jehovah Rophika. You are the Lord thy God that healeth thee, O God. Father, we thank you for your favor abounding in their lives. We thank you that their name is coming from the bottom to the top. We thank you that policies and rules and regulation and laws are being changed and reversed on their behalf. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are winning battles that you don't even have to fight because God is fighting for you. I declare in the name of Jesus some battles that you've been fighting are about to come to a halt, that God is taking over supernaturally and things are ending in Jesus' name. Hey, la boca rosata. Rosso toco la boca rosata. I'm not going to go too far, but the Lord told me, and he's already given me the word. He just gave it to me for 2024, and he said that 2024 for WLCC, that it's going to be a year of release, and it's going to be a year of plenty for those that will obey God and obey his word. It's going to be a year of release, and it's going to be a year of plenty for those that will obey God and that will obey his word. And I want you to get it made up in your mind that I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what's going on around me. I believe God. I believe that God is going to release some incredible things into my life. But I also believe that God's going to release me from some things. I believe I'm walking into a season that I've never walked into before. I believe that effectual doors that God had from the foundation of the earth ready for me, I'm about to walk into them. I believe that God is about to blow my mind. I believe that I'm walking into a year of total and complete healing in my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I believe that I'm walking into a year of incredible increase like I've never seen before. I believe I'm about to have more money than I've ever had in my bank account in my entire life. I believe that relationships are deepening and strengthening and getting better and better. I believe in the name of Jesus that the heart of that child is turning back to that parent. Ha, la boca rosata. Recete. That the heart of that parent is turning back to that child. I decree restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just worship him right there. Just worship him. Ha, la boca rosata. Recete que la boca rosata. Ha, la boca rosata. Just thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank you for being a good God. We worship you in this place. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want you to just simply pray this prayer with us. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. I want you to pray this prayer with us. Maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent. I want you to pray this prayer with us. If you want to join our church, it's real easy. I talked about those connection cards. When you're filling out the connection card, just check, I'm committing my life to Christ, and then I'm joining the church. Or maybe you already committed your life to Christ, you just need to join the church. So the whole church thing is real easy. If you're here, we consider you family anyways. But if you're not saved today, I don't want you to walk out of here not knowing Jesus. If you need to rededicate your life today, I don't want you to walk out of here not getting things right with God. If you're a Christian and just needs to repent, I promise you, if you just repent, it'll make your heart feel better. So in the room and online, I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to their redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building.